And how do you explain this? This is your brain relearning or finding new pathways to do something it once was able to do and it had to figure out?
I wish I were a neurosurgeon or a neuroscientist so I could explain the process. But what I found out afterward in getting to know some really wonderful audiologists is music therapy was being tested at the University of Texas at Vanderbilt, some of the leading audiology programs in the country. And they were all testing it in theory. So all of a sudden, my brain became a pretty popular test subject for a lot of folks that had thought about this in theory. And I think it was really just our brains are pretty magical, and we don't understand all that they do. But when your brain knows something, it doesn't forget.
Yeah. Matt Hay, his memoir is titled Soundtrack of Silence, Love, Loss, and a Playlist for Life. This has been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is NPR News. There's a big gap between how the economy is doing in the U.S. and how Americans are feeling about it. Patty Hirsch and Darian Woods with The Indicator from Planet Money have some reasons behind that disparity.
Stephanie Larscheid sees the improving economy and the pain that Americans are feeling all at once. She's the executive director of the Prairie Family Business Association. She's based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and her clients are located all over the Great Plains.
My father, who's a farmer in Iowa, when he's been traveling across Iowa, across South Dakota, across Minnesota, he's noticed more vehicles on the side of the road. He thinks people are putting off repairs. People are putting off what they need to do to take care of their basic needs.
At the same time, though, Stephanie says the economy in her part of the world is running pretty hot right now.
In South Dakota, we have 35 workers available for every 100 jobs that are open. And that puts a lot of pressure on what the pay is.
Rising pay and improving conditions, but matched with economic hardships, kind of a conundrum. And it's something that we're seeing all over the U.S. right now. Unemployment is low, inflation is falling, gross domestic product is up, wages are up, and yet we're all feeling down.
Michael Strain is a director of economic policy studies at the American Enterprise Institute. That's a think tank that you might say leans gently to the right.
People don't really care about some index that economists have put together to try and get a handle on the economy at the macro level. People care about the stuff they're buying. And it turns out that people really hate inflation.
Turns out you can throw the whole can of alphabet soup of GDP, CPI, PCE, and whatever at the average American. But what they're really focused on, and what we get really mad about, is how much pain we have to take at the pump or the checkout, or when a waiter brings us our bill.
Inflation, it seems, beats out almost every other economic ailment when it comes to our feelings, because it affects so many of us.
Now, of course, pay has gone up at the same time as inflation. But in the same way that unemployment only affects a relatively small number of Americans, the same goes for pay hikes. Betsy Stevenson is professor of public policy and economics at the University of Michigan.
We know that the incomes of younger people went up disproportionately to older people, and that's because the incomes of people who are willing to switch jobs went up by much more than the rate of inflation compared to people who stayed in the same job.
But it's not just the virus of inflation that's making their temperatures rise, Michael Strain says. It's also the antidote to the disease, rising interest rates.
Interest rates on credit cards are much higher than they used to be as a consequence of actions the Fed is taking to fight inflation.
And it's not just credit cards that are seeing higher rates. It's home loans, it's car loans, student loans, personal loans.
The reason the Fed was raising interest rates was so people would spend less. And they haven't really done that. And one reason they haven't done that is because they had excess savings built up during the pandemic.
Yeah, those excess savings, which were, of course, boosted by government handouts to some degree. But Michael Strain says that that power is pretty much all used up now.
Now you're starting to see households have trouble keeping current on their debt obligations.
Both Betsy Stevenson at the University of Michigan and Michael Strain at the AEI agree that if inflation continues to fall and unemployment stays low, Americans should gradually begin to feel less miserable about the economy. Now, whether or not we'll admit that is another story.
Darian Woods.
Patty Hirsch, NPR News.
Support for Planet Money comes from Workday. With AI at the core of its system, Workday is committed to delivering continuous innovation to help teams stay agile. Workday, the finance and HR system for a changing world.
You're listening to All Things Considered.
And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. A newly released investigation finds that the state's Adult Protective Services office failed to properly respond to reports of an elder unable to take care of themselves. The elder died of hypothermia in their home in 2021, according to the report. Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports.
The nearly three-year probe was conducted by the Alaska State Ombudsman. One portion of the two-pronged investigation focuses on the way Adult Protective Services prioritizes cases. The agency's policy requires workers who receive reports to prioritize them by need. High-priority cases that pose an imminent risk of harm should be responded to within 24 hours, according to the report, while lower-priority cases require a response within 10 business days. According to the investigation, a concerned neighbor called Adult Protective Services in January 2020 to report that an elder had limited heat and was relying on their car for warmth. Another report filed in October said the elder's roof was caving in and there was no heat. Ombudsman Kate Burkhart says Adult Protective Services assigned both reports a low priority.
We were concerned about that. I feel like if somebody calls and says, Kate is going to freeze to death, maybe that should be a priority one. So we investigated and determined that those should have been screened differently.
The report's second major conclusion finds that Adult Protective Services did not act quickly enough to protect the elder. Burkhart says the investigation found the elder was living in squalid and dangerous conditions, hoarding animals and household belongings. She says the agency did not follow up on a plan to help the elder find safer and healthier housing. She says the agency determined the elder was able to make decisions for themselves, despite their obviously unsafe living conditions.
And we found multiple opportunities to actually help the vulnerable adult that were missed over the 2 years from 2020 until the person's death in 2021.
Burkhart's office offered 8 recommendations to the Department of Health, which administers Adult Protective Services. The report recommends better training for the agency's employees, a limit on the number of cases assigned to each caseworker, and 3 new positions aimed at ensuring elders get the care they need. According to the report, the Department of Health fully accepted 6 of the 8 recommendations, but pushed back on 2. The report also recommends that Adult Protective Services rethink its tendency to favor elders' independence over their health and well-being. Burkhart says that's especially when they show signs of mental illness or self-neglect, like hoarding.
The agency prioritizes personal independence, and that's a value many of us have. Another value we have is taking care of our elders, and there was tension between those values in this situation.
In a statement to Alaska Public Media, the state's Deputy Director of Senior and Disabilities Services said Adult Protective Services is working on solutions. She added the agency takes all reports of harm seriously and works diligently to ensure the health, safety, and welfare of Alaska's most vulnerable individuals. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
The drinking water from a Nikiski utility contains higher than safe levels of PFAS, also known as forever chemicals. SKDLL's Riley Board reports toxic researchers are sounding the alarm, but the utility and state regulators say they're taking the appropriate action.
Pamela Miller is director and senior scientist with the Alaska Community Action on Toxics organization. She studies PFAS contamination around the state and the health implications of the substance, which has grown in notoriety over the past several years. Miller says she heard concerns from some members of the Nikiski community served by the Nikishka Bay utility, which has about 80 customers in the Nikiski neighborhood near the high school. She did her own tests of water samples, which came back with high levels of PFAS.
PFAS are per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, and these are highly dangerous, a very complex group of more than 12,000 chemicals that are used in many different types of products that we use in our homes, but also industrial applications. And we think that probably the source of contamination of Nikiski's drinking water is the use of firefighting foams. They're called AFFF or aqueous film forming foams that have been used for fire training in and around Nikiski.
The foams are commonly used in chemical and oil fires. They're believed to be the most common source of PFAS contamination in the state. Miller says the health effects of PFAS consumption are vast, even at low exposure levels.
Including certain types of cancers, especially kidney and testicular cancer, developmental and reproductive harm, immune system impairment, and endocrine disorders like thyroid disease, metabolic disorders like elevated cholesterol and liver disease.
Miller co-authored an op-ed last month in the Peninsula Clarion, criticizing state regulators and the utility for not taking quicker action to inform consumers about the PFAS and imploring them to provide safe drinking water sources immediately. David Cronick directs Northern Utility Services, the Anchorage-based company that oversees Nikishka Bay. He says the utility is intimately aware of the issue and working on a solution. Cronick says the utility tested the water for PFAS in February amid rising national concerns about the substance. They got the results back in June. Because of a national backlog and lack of testing facilities in Alaska, it can take 2 or 3 months for results. That test revealed high levels in the water, and Cronick reached out to the state's Department of Environmental Conservation.
The treatment for PFAS, the best available technology is granulated activated carbon.
That's Cindy Christian, the manager of DEC's drinking water program. She says the first samples the utility tested were of untreated water, straight from the well.
Nikishka Bay actually had GAC, or the granulated activated carbon treatment, already installed. So we asked them to take a sample from their treated water because that's what people were actually drinking.
Cronick says DEC advised him not to announce the results of the tests at this point. He says, quote, "We both came to the conclusion that it would be inappropriate to tell people their water source is contaminated if in fact it isn't. We need to be giving people actual facts, not speculation." The utility took samples of the treated water in July and got back results in October.
And it did remove some of it, but it didn't remove enough of it to be down below levels of concern.
At that point, Cronick and DEC issued a public notice to customers about PFAS in the water. Cronick says he suggested the utility buy filters to distribute to customers, but most weren't interested because of the cost implications for the small utility. Looking forward, Cronick says the utility has received preliminary approval for a $500,000 grant from the state that will allow them to mitigate the issue, and he hopes to have the problem solved in the next 6 to 8 months. He says that will involve either finding a new source of water or determining a way to treat the current source that will remove PFAS. Christian says in the meantime, residents can get pitchers that filter out PFAS from drinking water. And DEC is hoping to work with the borough to set up a watering point in Nikiski, where residents could come to fill up jugs with fresh water. Additionally, DEC has begun an investigation into the contamination at the site. Here's Christian again.
So what we're trying to do, we know that the Nikishka Bay wells are contaminated, and so we'll start a well search in that general area and just keep expanding outwards so that we can do a site characterization and we can see hopefully where the PFAS is coming from and how far the plume has expanded in that area.
Christian says DEC recently got results from a sample of Nikiski Middle High School's well, which were negative for the substance. She agrees with Miller's assessment that the likely source is the AFFF firefighting foam. The foam came close to being banned in the state last year. A bill passed the legislature almost unanimously before being quietly vetoed by Governor Mike Dunleavy in August. Miller says her organization's priority for the upcoming legislative session will be advocating that either that veto is overturned or legislators reintroduce the bill.
These are highly dangerous chemicals, and this should not be taken lightly. And it's really appalling to me that the state, our state legislature, the governor, are not addressing this by preventing further harm, not providing communities with safe water. And unfortunately, Nikiski is not the only community in Alaska. There are now many communities from Utqiagvik down through southeast Alaska who have drinking water contamination.
The regulation of PFAS is still evolving nationally. Christian with DEC says, although the substances are currently unregulated in the state, she expects new guidance will be released from the Environmental Protection Agency in early 2024.
We take the regulations that EPA promulgates and we adopt those by reference here in the state. So we do plan to adopt the PFAS regulation once it is finalized by the EPA.
Cronick, the utility director, pushed back against Miller's critiques of his response. He says PFAS is a growing concern, but that evolving research and expensive tests make it difficult to treat as an immediate threat.
That's Riley Board at KDLL. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 15 degrees, and there's a lot of snow on the way this weekend. There's a winter storm advisory issued by the National Weather Service. This is KTOO.
Support for NPR comes from the station. And from BritBox, with the goal of helping...